This is Stories from the Red Zone and Gear Review. And you are listening to the Archery Maniacs podcast.
The 15th time I was up there, I connected with that buck, and it was a layup.
We get all the way up to this point, finally. And, I mean, it's a long way. And I look down the ridge, and there's a motorcycle parked right there on a motorcycle trail.
So I draw my bow back, and when I draw my bow back, of course, he's doing that little, you know, he's doing like the disco head bob, you know, that YMCA mess, trying to look around these bushes. He's going all back and forth with his head.
And then freaking came out huffing. He was like, like, just so riled up. It was so cool, but my back was to a tree. I couldn't come to full draw. I couldn't shoot him.
Dude. We had more trail cameras set up than Bass Pro, no joke.
They pulled my nock out of my arrow, and my arrow fell off of the ground. And, of course, we were standing right on top of some rocks, and my arrow just tink, 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 tink.
I was, like, afraid to be excited because I was like, I don't think that was a good shot.
We launched an updated website at www.archerymaniacs.com. Go there and you will find Archery Maniac Taxidermy. Our taxidermy includes European mounts, hydrographic skull dips, and custom artwork, customizable video packages, packages to fit all your hunt needs, monthly newsletter. The newsletter will include success stories, failure stories, gear reviews, wild game recipes, upcoming episodes in our online series, and upcoming podcasts, and updates to our YouTube online series called Live Life at Full Draw. Alert, alert! Soon to launch our ebooks, Hunt Planner Guide, all the steps you need to plan your next DIY dream hunt, including specific questions, hunt plans, and step-by-step instructions. Keto dehydration. Make your own dehydrated keto meals for your hunting and backpacking adventures. Super tune your bow, beginner's bow tuning guide, and more. Thank you for tuning into the show, and we appreciate you checking out the website.
Now.
Let's.
Get.
Into.
The show!
In this episode of Stories from the Red Zone, Mike Clifton shares his second chance elk story. As for the gear review, I review the Six Sight Gear Cimarron base layer. I hope that you enjoy the show.
Okay, this is Mike Clifton with Triple C Outfitters here in New Mexico, and you're listening to Archery Maniacs.
Awesome, man. I appreciate you coming on, and I'm interested to hear this story you got for us. We're doing an In the Red Zone segment, so whenever you're ready, let's hear it.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, this is a story from 2016 archery season here in New Mexico, and we had patterned a big bull down in some lower desert country that we had coming in on a trail camera pretty consistently, and had some hunters from Texas show up that week, and we decided one of the guys take him down there that evening and get him into that ground blind and see if that bull might come in. And so we used our way down there that evening, and there was already another hunter actually set up on that ground blind. So we backed out of there and did the right thing and figured we'd go find another bull to hunt. And we did that evening. We found some bulls bugling over in the next canyon, and we chased them and never caught up with them. And so 2 days later into the hunt, we decided we'd go back to that spot and see if we might check that trail camera. And lo and behold, that big bull wasn't there the night that the guy sat water, but he had been there the next night, and no one happened to be sitting on the water that night. So we had said, okay, well, let's sit here tonight and see what happens. And sure enough, we got the client all set up there and showed him pictures, because there was four or five different bulls coming in there, and one was a really exceptional, probably 345-inch bull. And so we showed him pictures of the bull and got him set up in the ground blind. And we always leave our clients in the ground blind by themselves just to minimize the scent and all that kind of stuff going on. And we left them and told them if they come in, take your shot and just stay in the ground blind, and we'll be back after dark to pick you up, and hopefully you got an elk. And so we left him there and backed off down the road about a mile and a half and sat at the truck. And a couple hours later, as the sun set, we decided to give him an extra 30 minutes, and we started easing down that road in the Polaris Ranger to pick him up. And he was standing outside of the ground blind with a big smile on his face. And we're like, well, what happened? And so, you know, he said, well, the big bull, I was sitting here in the blind, and the beef cows came in first to the drinker and water, just like you guys said they would. And then the turkeys came, and then the mule deer. And then right at last light, about 15 cow elk came running into this drinker like they had never drank before, because it was probably 85 degrees that day. And they were all there, and you know, the hunter was had his camcorder going, and he was camcording them. And right at last light, the big herd bull showed up on the drinker, and the hunter had him. You know, he was in the ground blind, all the favors, everything was in his favor. So he went to draw on this bull, and the bull was 42 yards away with his head down and the drinker broadside, and the hunter had bull fever so bad that he must have been shaken, that when he actually shot, he shot about 2.5 feet too low, and his arrow nicked the lip, the metal lip of the drinker, of the cattle drinker. Oh. And he said it was like a ping pong ball going off. It just made this sound like ding, ding, ding. You know, he just saw an arrow go flying up in the air, and all the elk scattered.
Oh my God.
He had his camcorder going the whole time, and he was sitting there so mad at himself, saying, how could I have screwed that shot up? And he was so upset. Well, not more than a minute later, that 345-inch bull came right back to the drinker, and he didn't miss the second shot. he stuck him perfect, but, you know, and the bull ran up the hill and about 150 yards or so and died, and, you know, he killed him a dandy bull, but it was just such a crazy story, because he told us he went from such a high of having the big bulls there at the drinker, perfect broadside bull he'd been dreaming about his whole life, to missing them in such a dramatic fashion. And then to 30 seconds later, the bull walking back in, because he had no clue what had happened. He just heard this big loud noise and everyone scattered, and he took off as well. But he came back to drink because he hadn't got enough water, and that was his fatal mistake. So that's how we killed him.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I killed a nice big bull on a drinker down in the desert last year. Not with the first shot, but definitely with the second one.
Oh, my gosh. And I know exactly what you're talking about, because I did something very similar with my biggest whitetail a few years back. We have to have pens around our feeders when they come in. Our where we hunt in Texas, you know, we hunt feeders a lot in Texas. I'm sure everybody knows that. And so when this buck come in that I knew was there, and I knew he was coming first week in the season anyway, I'm not going to tell the whole story again. But anyway, I didn't even aim at him. I didn't even aim at him because I was so nervous when I drew back. And I can shoot a hare off of an animal at 20 yards. I shoot my bow every day, so that's not a big deal. But I didn't even aim at this damn thing. And when I shot, it shot right over his back, and my arrow ricocheted off the feeder pen. Basically, we call a feeder pen around the damn thing. We keep pigs out, and we keep cows away from my feeder is what we do. It's a big, giant circle that keeps the – but anyway, that damn – deer jumped off and ran off, and he had no clue what happened. He stood out there about 65 yards away from me and just looking around for 15 minutes. And as the sun was setting, he just stood there like, what the hell happened? So I can – that's exactly what I'm imagining when that bull heard that clang of his arrow on that side of that watering you know, guzzler that you call it. He's like, what the hell is that? He probably thought he got snake bit.
Yeah, he didn't know what had happened, apparently. So.
So how long? I know you've said it three times, but I was so excited in the story I didn't even hear you. So how long was it for him to come back to water? 30 seconds, you say?
Yeah, it was like 30 seconds, okay. Seconds to a minute. You know, it was super quick. It was real, you know, it's real flat country, and it's kind of, you know, there's big cedars around. So you lose visual on the animals even if they go 10 yards, 15 yards away. And I think they all just kind of scattered into the tree line. And then, you know, he was the first. The cows didn't come back. He was the only one that came back, but I think it's because he had just started to get a drink when the hunter took his first shot. And so that bull was like, what the heck? I didn't get my water. I'm going back to the drinker. And he showed up for the second drink, and that's when it went down. So,
you know, they don't know what that stuff is. You know, anytime, you know, same with the – I've seen people shoot with a rifle and miss, and the animals scatter, and they come right back. They don't know what the hell just happened. They just heard a big loud noise and scared the hell out of them, and they come back. But that's freaking awesome. So I don't know if I would have been able to draw my bow the second time. I would have been so freaked out.
Yeah, he was – he was excited. You know, I can't blame him. It was a heck of a nice bull that he killed. It was probably one of our, you know, top five or six bulls that we've killed on public land ever here in New Mexico. It was a heck of a nice bull. I mean, definitely a trophy of a lifetime. But he just said after he missed that first shot and had his whole camcorder going out of the blind, he said it just couldn't go down that way. It couldn't end that way. He had to redeem himself. He said, you know, I didn't know what I was going to do, but, you know, he made a great second shot. And I think he was just able to take a couple deep breaths and get his nerves under control and just focus on pick a spot. You know, I think right. He probably, like you said, the first time, I'm sure he just got target panic and probably didn't even aim and just punched the trigger, you know? So it's easy to do, but, you know, it happens to the best of us. But luckily for him, he got a little second chance and got some redemption.
Well, hats off to him to be able to you know, keep everything together and be able to do it a second time within, you know, in a minute. You know, that's unbelievable, really. I mean, I may have stood up and blown the whole pop-up up and pouted like a little kid. I'm so passionate about hunting, and when I make a mistake, I just, oh my gosh, I lose it. So,
let the lesson be, when you lose it next time, just quietly do it in the blind, because right. You never know, and you never know.
You don't know. These animals react different every single time. You cannot predict whether they're going to run off and never come back, or they're going to just, you know, stand there. You know, it's you never know what's going to happen after they hear a noise or a missed shot or, you know, whatever the scenario is. So, you know, one whitetail could have, you know, you could drop your arrow in the stand and hear it clanging around and they're gone forever. Or next whitetail, you drop the arrow in the stand and they stand there and look around like, what the heck was that? You know, give you a second opportunity. And like he had, that's – so you just got to stay with it and stay in the moment and stay focused and hopefully, you know, maximize on your second opportunity, which he did. That's awesome, man. I'm excited for him, and that already happened. That's freaking awesome, man.
Yes, sir.
So anyway, well, I appreciate you sharing that story with us. And, you know, anybody listening can probably relate to that. That's anybody that's hunted any amount of time at all. So that's I definitely can relate to it. I have a very similar story like I already shared with you. So that's incredible. So I'm happy for the guy, you know, right now. So anyway, best of luck to you this next year, and hope everything works out. You got a ton of elk on the ground that you get to guide, and hopefully you and your family are successful also.
Yeah, for sure, man. I definitely appreciate it. And same to you guys. Hopefully you guys have a good upcoming hunting season, get some good tags and all that good stuff. Get out in the field and enjoy it. That's what it's all about.
Yep. Thank you for talking to me.
Okay. Thank you, Cal. Take care, buddy.
That concludes this week's segment of Stories from the Red Zone. I hope you got a few laughs and maybe learned some things to do and some things definitely not to do. Now, let's check out this week's gear review. You know, I'm impressed with this Kafaru. 150 plus pounds, this thing can handle whatever I throw at it. These Under Armour fat tires are so comfortable, but it's only been 6 months and they've already got holes. I just can't get them to hold up for me. This Valkyrie broadhead delivery system hits so hard. Pass-throughs are now expected. I gotta say it. This Sitka gear is the only camo that has lasted me longer than a year. And once again, this damn binocular harness has rotated around, putting all the pressure on the base of my neck. This S4 gear lockdown sucks. Just like that, it was broke and I was pissed. I'm not here to tear any companies down, but to simply tell the truth, because my life and my hunt depend on my gear to perform. So with that, enjoy your no holds barred, non-scripted, no bullshit gear review.
Now,
let's
get
into
the show!
How's it going, everyone? Zach Harold here, coming to you with another gear review. In this episode, we are going to review the Six Sight Gear Cimarron base layer. It is a Polartec Power Wool blend, and not too bad. You know, it really isn't too bad at all. As far as features go, it is basically the bottoms are like any base layer. You know, they have a spot for a crotch spot, I guess you call it. They fit pretty snug to the body. And I will say, though, that if you wear, I wear a medium shirt, but the medium bottom was too big for me, so that might... Hopefully that gives you some insight. The features of the top are like almost every other base layer as well. It's got the quarter zip right here. So they're really light. As you can see there, it crunches down to a little bit bigger than, probably about the size of a softball. So they're pretty light. And once again, it is a Polartec Power Wool blend, that is a little bit different than your average, you know, like merino wool or synthetic like Under Armour. The things that I truly like about the product, is I like that it has the zipper right here. Some of my Under Armour, like the cold gear, it's just a straight pullover with no zipper. And I just have a big head. It's like egg-shaped kind of. So I just find that it's quite a lot easier to get on and off. With the zipper, and then it's easier to pull over something as well with the zipper. I think all around the zipper is just really helpful. So, and then it is true to fit on the top, but the bottom is not as true to fit. Product dislikes: when I put it on bare skin, it is a little itchy, merino wool isn't to me, but maybe it's not itchy for other people. I couldn't tell you. And I honestly don't think that it is as warm as merino wool. The hype was way up there that it was supposed to be better and this, that, and whatever. And yabbity, yabbity, yabbity. And I still prefer my merino wool over this stuff. So That's just my experience with it, though. You know, other people could have a different experience, obviously. So, ease of use, scale of 1 to 10. 10, you just put the clothes on. Toughness, it's pretty tough. It really is. I've wore it just as, you know, like my top. I don't really go running around in the daytime with just my skivvies on my bottom, but I do it sometimes with my top, and I've walked through brush and everything like that, and it held up fairly well, so it's pretty tough. Do you get what you pay for? I think you could take the $115 that the top and the bottom costs, and I think you could buy merino wool and you'd be happier, to be honest with you. So no, I don't think you do get what you pay for. And would you recommend it to a friend? No, I would not, because I would tell them to get merino wool. Not saying that this stuff isn't good, and not saying that this stuff doesn't work. All as I'm saying is that I think and I feel that merino wool works better, and I therefore would prefer to get merino wool. So there you have it. A short review, because there's not that much to talk about on a base layer. So you have the Six Sight Gear Cimarron bottom and the Six Sight Gear Cimarron top, and they both retail for $114.99 on the website, but sometimes on Amazon you can get them for a whopping steal of $99. So head on over to sixsightgear.com and check out what they have to offer. They do make some really great stuff. I'm a fan of their Clear Creek lightweight pant. I really like that pant. By the way, it's all American made stuff, and that is freaking awesome as well. So head on over to sixsightgear.com and check out what they have to offer. It could really help you next season. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Thank you for tuning into the show. It means a lot to us.
But seriously, though, I really appreciate your ear. And it would mean the world to me if you would rate our podcast. If you didn't like it, one star it. But if you did, a 5 is even better. Don't forget to comment, like, share, and hit that subscribe button. Thanks again for tuning into the show. Some other podcasts that you should definitely check out are
Eastman Elevating with Bride and Barney,
and Hunt Harvest Health with Ryan and Hillary Lambers.
Some other YouTube channels to check out:
Hardworking Hunter, Sterling's Extremes Outdoors, and Lane Walter Productions.
And a special thanks to
Maven Optics, Six Sight Gear, Dark Energy Tech, Shield Mountain Outdoors, The Outdoor Insiders, Iron Mind Hunting, Valkyrie Archery, and Gannett Ridge Sporting Equipment.